Is it working?
Do you ever listen to me?
Is it working? We're on.
I haven't done it yet, but I want to put down and type them out. You know what I mean? I can give them out.
So let's continue from the beginning. Okay.
I know. I'm the only one I've done
in my house. Shabbos.
101.
Bishul Shabbos 101. Here we go again. Okay.
Take two.
Take two.
Hopefully we'll figure it out. We'll pick up something around.
So again, Bishul obviously is very important because we want to know how to cook on Shabbos properly, warming up food properly. So that's why there's so much to discuss by Bishul, so many different details that we have to really iron out and get down. Hopefully this time around will be even easier. So number one, there might be a few more general concepts and then we'll get back into the nitty-gritty. Bishul in general is not limited to just, see number one, it's not limited just to edible foods. If you melt metal, you bake bricks, there's discussion about plastic, if you're heating plastic, whatever it is, that potentially can be a problem of Bishul as well. Obviously, most of this doesn't really occur, doesn't apply that much, no one's cooking bricks on Shabbos, so most of the issues revolve around food. But just so we know, Bishul is not solely limited to edible foods. Okay, then number two, when we say Bishul on Shabbos, Bishul only refers to cooking, which is like boiling in water. So when you say Bishul on Shabbos, it seems to imply only cooking something in water. But that would be problematic, but it doesn't necessarily explicitly say that baking is a problem, roasting is a problem, frying is a problem, but the truth is that they all fall under the category of Bishul on Shabbos. So whether you're frying something, you're baking something, you're boiling something, broiling, whatever, at least those cases are going to be Bishul on Shabbos. There are issues where it might be permissible. There's a discussion about cooking in hot springs. Cooking in hot springs might not be biblically prohibited. In Tveria, they have the hot springs cooking in a microwave. If there was some way, if let's say the microwave was on a timer, that might not be biblically prohibited, but it'll be rabbinically prohibited. But the bottom line is, for Bishul on Shabbos, we're really dealing with Bishul, with cooking, baking, frying, and roasting. That's what we're going to be discussing for the most part. Okay, so now that we have those basic rules, then we have to understand, when does Bishul occur? And so Bishul occurs, well, there are a few types. There's Eish, as you see, Eish, told us Eish, Chama, and told us Chama. So let's go from the beginning. Eish, what's Eish? So cooking in Eish is cooking on direct fire. Meaning to say, if you have a pot of food on the fire, and you put your raw chicken in this pot that's on the fire, you are cooking on Eish, and that's biblically prohibited. Isser de'oraisa, you cannot take raw food and put it in a pot directly on the fire. No good. And that's direct heat. Okay, then there's another category called toldos Eish, which is indirect heat. So what's indirect heat? Indirect heat is if you have a pot that's on the fire, let's say it was a pot of water boiling on the fire, you took the pot of boiling water off of the fire, and then you took the raw chicken and you threw it inside the pot. When you throw the raw chicken in the pot that's off the fire, the pot is still boiling hot, the water's in there is still 100 and whatever, that is also Asur D'oraisa. It's a biblical prohibition of Bishul on Shabbos, even though it's not directly on the fire, but it told us Eish, even if it's indirect heat, it's going to be a problem, mid-oraisa of Bishul on Shabbos.
Still
D'oraisa, yeah. Okay. Then we have Chama. Then there's cooking in the sun. Solar cooking, is that permissible or not? So solar cooking, the Gemara tells us there's no problem. You're allowed to cook in the sun. There's nothing wrong with it. You can take a pot of chicken, whatever, a raw egg, take it and hold it in the sun, and everything is fine. No problem. 100% permissible on Shabbos, practically
in the desert.
Most probably, if you're holding it in the air, it's not going to cook. It's only if it's on the ground because of the heat from the sun. But if it's just holding it in the air, I'm pretty sure that it's not going to cook. So chama is totally permissible. There is a discussion in Israel about the Dud Shemesh. There's a question whether, I mean, the water gets heated from the Dud Shemesh, and there are other halakhic factors to take into consideration, but many poskim say that if you have the, well, if you turn the button on, if you press the button, then it's going electronically, whatever. But if the button is not on and the water gets heated from the sun, so then that might be, and then the water gets very hot, that might be only solar heating, and that might be permissible. You might be able to use that water, obviously not the shower, there's a problem with washing your whole body on Shabbos, but to wash your hands or wash your face with that hot water might not be a problem whatsoever on Shabbos.
The issue with that anyway isn't using the water, it's emptying the water and cooking the new water.
So there's a whole discussion about that. Those are other issues that come into play.
Okay.
And there are reasons to be lenient, so therefore some poskim that say you can, if you have the Dud Shemesh on, you can turn on the hot water and use it to wash your hands, I guess your dishes, whatever it is, and that's okay. Turning on the regular hot water tap is a different story. In your home, the hot water taps are, there's a fire, there's a pilot light, and when you're turning on the pilot light, it's a whole new ball game, and that's going to be biblically prohibited to turn on the hot water tap on Shabbos. You cannot do that.
I don't want to go too far away from the main topic, but let's say you know that something was midoraisa, cooked on fire on Shabbos. Obviously you don't eat it, but are you not allowed to use it for anything else, like you just said, like to wash your hands or...
I mean, someone intentionally...
Let's say, yeah.
Okay, someone intentionally...
So that water is usher for anything?
That water is usher for anything. Yeah. The person that does it, let's make it a practical case. Let's say someone decided that they didn't care about the halacha, they decided to turn on the fire and cook the chicken on Shabbos. So if you cook your chicken on Shabbos intentionally, so the halacha states that the person that cooks it can never ever get benefit from this chicken. They can't eat it, they cannot ever partake in it. But other people, meaning those that it wasn't cooked for, anyone that you cook it for are considered part of yourself. So anyone that you didn't intend to cook for, they can benefit from that food on Motzei Shabbos. But no one can get benefit from it on Shabbos itself. Now again, there will always be a lot of different details, but generally speaking, that's the halacha. And if it's unintentional, it's another different... Okay, we'll leave it alone for now. Okay, then there's an interesting one, which is toldos chama. Cooking in toldos chama is indirect solar heat. Now, indirect solar heat is following. You have a pot that you put, let's say, on the street, on the actual street, and it started getting heated up from the let's say the street floor and from the sun, etc. And then you picked up the pot, and you, let's say, you brought it into your house. You don't have to. I'm just making it easy or whatever. You brought it into your house, and then you took your egg and you cooked your egg in the pot. Is that permissible? So, biblically speaking, it's fine, but rabbinically speaking, they said you're not allowed to do it. That so toldos chama, all right, uncooked food, cooking in a pot that has been heated by the sun. If you throw in a raw egg to scramble the egg after it's been in the sun, you brought it in the house, that is rabbinically prohibited. Why? So, simply speaking, it's because toldos chama looks like toldos esh. I mean, toldos esh is that you take a pot off of the fire, and now you're holding it in the middle of your living room, and you're throwing an egg into it. So that it looks exactly the same as taking a pot from the sun and bringing it inside your house into the living room and throwing eggs into it. So that's why, because of that reason, because it mirrors toldos esh, they said toldos chama is rabbinically prohibited.
But chama is what?
Midrabanan
usually?
Chama is totally permissible.
Totally fine.
100%.
That's wild.
Yeah.
Toldos
is
something permissible.
That's what I'm saying.
The Dud Shemesh is the solar heater. There's a big discussion about it. I mean, I don't want to get into so many details about the solar heater because some people say the fact that it's in a big tank, so it's almost like it's indirect solar heat because it's getting heated from the tank. The fact that it's condensed in a small little area, so it's getting heated from the tank, And people say, no, that's not called solar, that's indirect solar heat. And once it's indirect solar heat, then it's rabbinically prohibited. So there's a big discussion about that. So, yeah. But theoretically speaking, I think Rav Avadia Yosef for the Sfardim is lenient, if I remember correctly. So, but Sfardim are always more lenient. It always happens. But I don't remember, I'm not 100%. Okay, so those are the basic weight, those are the basic halachas of cooking, what's d'oraisa, what's d'rabanan. But that's all to discussing raw foods. We haven't discussed re-cooking foods that have already been cooked once before. But a raw food, if it's on the directly on the fire, d'oraisa. If it's indirect, it's also d'oraisa. If it's in the sun, it's totally fine. If it's indirect solar heat, then it's rabbinically prohibited. Okay. So now the question is, even if you have a piece of chicken that you throw on the pot on the fire, even if you cook it till 20%, let's say, it might not be a problem of bishul. It might not be violating real bishul, because the halacha of bishul is something very interesting. That when it comes to the halacha of cooking, the only time you violate cooking is when you get it to a level of cooked. So only when it reaches the level of being cooked, halachically cooked, that's when you violate the prohibition of bishul. Meaning to say, if, theoretically speaking, if something at 75% is not considered halachically cooked, then you haven't violated midoraisa, the biblical prohibition of cooking on Shabbos. You violated a rabbinical prohibition, but not a biblical prohibition. Okay? And it's going to be...
So the practice of getting there isn't the Easter. It's
right.
Getting
it. So the question is, when is halachic bishul? That's what we have to figure out. So there's a concept in the Gemara called Meichel Ben Drusai. That there is this, Meichel means food, Machal, Mem Aleph Chaf Lamed, Bet Nun, Drusai, Dalet Resh Vav Samech Aleph Yud. So there was a robber, his name was Ben Drusai, and he used to eat on the run. He didn't have enough time. It was like Pesach. He didn't have time to sit around and have a fully cooked meal because he was going from place to place, and he was trying to run away from the cops or whatever it is. So he used to eat it his food at a certain level, at a certain degree that it's been cooked, and that was what the Torah said, what the rabbi said. That's considered halachically cooked. So what's that level? Obviously, it's a dispute. Some say it's 30%, and some 33%, and some say it's 50%. But we take the stringent approach for Shabbos, and we say that once you cook it to 33%, you have violated a biblical prohibition of cooking on Shabbos. So how do you figure out when something is 33% cooked to know that you did something, you violated a biblical prohibition? So the answer is, take a look at the recipe for a food. If it says it takes an hour to cook, so then you know that a third is 20 minutes, right? I think last time I said 33, but I think I remember this time. 20 minutes is a third, and I'm a rabbi, my math is not supposed to be so good. Neither is my English. So once the food has been cooked for 20 minutes, that's considered a third cooked, and then you violated a biblical prohibition of cooking on Shabbos. But within 20 minutes, it's only a rabbinical prohibition. You have not done anything biblical. I won't say you're in the clear, but you're in the clear of any d'oraisas.
Like tuna fish, like you just sear it, like tuna steak that's like seared on the outside and mostly raw on the inside.
So is the point,
the point is to get it that way. You don't want to cook it all the way through. So I guess technically you cooked it all the way through.
Yeah, I mean, if it says cook for 5 minutes, so then
a third
of the way is going to be cooking on Shabbos. Okay, so that's all when it comes to a solid. Because a lot of times by Shabbos, we have this distinction between solids and liquids when it comes to cooking foods. So when it comes to solids, cooking solids, once you get to 33%, you've done a bishul midoraisa on Shabbos. Underneath 33%, you're only rabbinically prohibited, not biblically prohibited. Okay, what about liquids? So there is no concept of 33% cooked in a liquid. It just doesn't make sense. You can't partially cook a liquid or not. So the question is heating it to its boiling point. What's its boiling point? Its boiling point, at least halachically speaking, halachically liquids on Shabbos is, as it says here, boiling a liquid to around 112 degrees. It can vary from like 110 to 170, the different opinions, but at least we try to be
that's not that
as much as possible. 112 degrees? Well,
it's a little hotter than a bathtub.
Yeah, a bathtub can't be that hot.
I feel like your hot tub at 112.
I can drink my bath.
Is the liquid boiled at 112 degrees? 212 boils, yeah. So this is, the shear is called Yad Soletispo. Yad Soletispo literally means when the hand is too hot to touch your hand has to jump back because it's too hot. So I won't say arbitrarily, but they gave the shear of 112 based on their estimates. I mean, most of the time they would estimate how a human being would you know, hand would jump back when it came in contact with hot water. But the truth is that the Gemara talks about the way the Gemara says the proper shear is that you take the stomach, the baby's stomach, and you put the baby's stomach on hot water, and when the baby's stomach gets really I think it's red or something like that, then that's the shear for cooking. So no one has really done that. So when Eliyahu HaNavi comes, then we'll know maybe what the actual measurement is for Yatzal Lettuce, but for all intents and purposes, we're going to be machmir and say that once you cook a liquid to 112 degrees, you've done an Isur D'Oraisa of cooking liquids on Shabbos. Okay, anything underneath 112 degrees is all Bishul Midrabanan. Okay, so those are the... So that's all cooking for the first time. There's a few more things. Now we'll get a little bit more practical. The next item is Mekarei Bishul. Mekarei Bishul is speeding up the Bishul process. Meaning to say, if you have a food that's, let's just say it's already 50% cooked, and we're machmir on both sides. Meaning someone will say to me, if halachically speaking, a food is fully cooked at 33%, so I can cook it to 33% before Shabbos. Then Shabbos comes, I'll just, on a biblical level, I'll take the food at 33%, stick it on the fire, and it doesn't make a difference because it's already halachically cooked. So once it's halachically cooked, what do I care? It doesn't matter. I'm not doing anything wrong by taking some 33% cooked food and putting it back on the fire on a biblical level. Forget blechs. Blechs are all going to be derabanan. So what's the problem? So the answer is we're really machmir both ways. That even though we're going to say that 33% cooked is biblical cooking, but any from there up until 100% might be, some people will say every degree, every percent cooked is going to be another biblical prohibition up till 100% cooked, whatever the case might be. But we're going to say that even though 33% is halachically cooked, it's still there's still a prohibition of cooking until it reaches 100% cooked. Okay, so therefore, with that in mind, there's this concept of Mekarei Bishul, which is speeding up the cooking process. Anything that you do to speed up the cooking process will also be a problem of Bishul on Shabbos. So, let's go with the first one, which is Hagasa. And this is pretty practical. Different types of halachas when it comes to Hagasa. Hagasa means stirring. There's a problem to stir. Well, let's deal with, I put fully cooked foods first, but let's deal with the other side. There's stirring non-fully cooked foods on Shabbos. How do we deal with that? So, there's two categories. We have to break it down into two categories. It wasn't very clear on the notes. I have numbers on part C. I wrote on the fire, off the fire. But really, on the fire, off the fire applies to all the situations. So let's talk about stirring on the fire. Okay? You have, and we have to deal with solids and liquids. This wasn't very clear now that I see it, now that I'm looking at it again. Solids and liquids. Let's deal with solids. Stirring a solid on the fire that's not fully cooked. Okay? So what's going to happen? But if you stir any food, the idea of stirring is to make things cook quicker. It helps distribute the heat evenly, and things will cook faster. So if you take a food which is 50% cooked, it's on the fire, you take your ladle or whatever you use to stir, your stir, and you mix it around. So now you've expedited the visual process. And that's a problem. That's a biblical prohibition of speeding up the visual process. if it's off of the fire. So well, let's take that case. So let's say you have a cholent. Okay, you cooked your cholent in your crock pot. The cholent is, let's say, you know, it's not fully cooked right now. You put it up right before Shabbos. You know, you put all your blechs, all your aluminum foil, it doesn't make a difference. So you just put it up the second before Shabbos. So now it's Friday night, maybe it's 35, 40, 50% cooked. You take a spoon and you stir while the insert is in the base, you've done the biblical prohibition of cooking on Shabbos. So you can't stir on the fire. What if you removed the pot, took the pot off of the fire, and still not fully cooked, and you took it off, you set it down, or whatever, you're holding on to it, doesn't matter, and you took the spoon and you stirred it off of the fire. So it's not on the fire, it's off of the fire. It doesn't make a difference. If the food is raw, biblical prohibition, you can't do anything about it. You're not allowed to stir. And even more than that, it happens to be that if you have a pot of cholent that you took off of the fire, and you realize that it wasn't fully cooked, you're not allowed to put it back on. So there goes your cholent for the day.
Even with the blech?
Even with the blech. Because the blech is only going to help us to get around the rabbinical prohibitions. It's not going to avoid the biblical prohibitions. And if you put a 50% cooked pot back on the fire, it's not fully cooked, you're doing bishul on Shabbos. You can't cook on Shabbos.
But it was there a minute ago, and it was fine.
Maybe you took it off now.
What if it was totally?
Well, one of the rabbinical prohibitions of chazara.
It was a time before I took it off.
One of the rabbinical prohibitions of chazara, which we'll discuss later, is that in one of the requirements in order to return a food back onto the blech is that also it has to be fully cooked. So if it's not fully cooked, you can't. Anyways, so even rabbinically speaking, you can't take food that's not fully cooked and put it back on the fire.
So your intent doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter if you held on to it, you intended to put it back.
It
doesn't matter.
It was like half on the blech. It was like you move it over on the fire. If you move it on the fire and stir, absolutely, you shouldn't be stirring it, but if you did, could you slide it back? If you never took off the blech, you slid it off the fire.
Can't put it back.
That's fine. What if it's not liquidy?
That's we're talking about. We're talking about solids, and it's not fully cooked.
If
it's fully cooked, then it might be. I won't say totally, just because there are a lot of different factors we have to discuss.
Hold it, hop on one foot. Have a partner.
So yes, yeah, so if you take the, so if you take the, so again, if you're stirring the cholent in the crock pot, and it's not fully cooked, and it's in the base, the insert's on the base, on the fire. Problem. Done, you're finished. If it was intentional, even if it's unintentional, you might not be able to eat it. On Shabbos, it might be ruined. Speak to a rabbi. If you take it off of the fire and you stir it, same problem. Maybe it's only a rabbinic problem of returning to the fire. You can't return it. You can't stir either. It's all the speeding up the bishul process. So once you speed up the bishul process,
I'm sorry, because I'm missing.
No, that's okay.
When you have something on a blech, just pick it up.
So is the food fully cooked? Assuming the food is fully cooked, then yes. You know, most of the practical things are not going
to
be. Yeah, most of the things now are less practical, just because we're talking about raw and really cooking things for the first time, at least in the beginning, just to get the general principles down. But when it comes to fully cooked foods, different situations when it comes to fully cooked foods. So in your case, it'd be fine. Yeah.
Probably that's what I've been taught.
Yeah. So.
Probably been referring to fully cooked.
Yeah, fully cooked. Yeah. So if it's not, just because it's not so practical. So I mean, it could be with a crock pot. That it's definitely possible to have a situation where you see the you want to. See if the crock pot, see if the food in the crock pot is cooked. And you say, you know what, let me check. So you decide to pull the insert out of the base, and you open it up and you see, oh, my chilon's not cooked. It's not finished cooking yet. So what do? You can't put it back on. That can't happen.
Were you allowed to take off the top?
Yeah, so there's nothing wrong with taking off of the top. So let's deal with that right now. There's nothing wrong with taking off the top of the lid, even if the crock pot is, the insert is on in the base, everything is on the fire, you can pull the lid off. What's the problem? If you look at the cholent and you see, without stirring it, you see that the cholent is not fully cooked, you can't take the lid and put it back on. Because you keep the heat insulated.
So you're not allowed to add water even from a hot
urn. Oh, we're getting there.
We'll get there.
So speeding up the Bishul process.
That's a good rule. Don't touch that pot. Just don't touch it. Leave it alone.
So speeding up the Bishul process, you know, there's a few issues that we have to worry about. So let's say about fully cooked foods. Fully cooked foods, it seems like it almost sounds very silly. If a food is fully cooked and you stir it, you can't cook it anymore when you're stirring it, right? But there are Rishonim that we actually are machmir for, who say that even if food is fully cooked, you're not allowed to stir it
on the fire.
Now let's stir it on the let's deal with on the fire. You're not allowed to stir on the fire, which means you have fully cooked cholent. You can't mix it around while the cholent is in the base. That's a problem. Even though it's fully cooked, it sounds very strange. What am I doing when I'm mixing it? I'm not speeding up any cooking process. It's already fully cooked. But okay, we'll just leave it as it is. And it's problematic. What happens if I take the insert out and I put it on the, whatever I'm holding on to it, I put it on my, what are they called?
Grinder.
The granite or the trivets. Put it on the trivet, whatever. Now you want to know. Can I stir it? So even there are different opinions, and some say that even when it's off of the fire, even if you take the cholent off of the base, the insert out of the base and put it on the trivet, you still shouldn't mix it. That's what some people say. How do you serve it?
Okay. If you don't use old cholent, leaving some in the pot, it'll be ready.
No, so let's say it like this: it's a chumrah not to stir it when it's removed from the fire. It's a chumrah. People are machmir for it. I wouldn't make anybody necessarily do it, but I personally don't. But there are many people that don't. I personally don't stir the pot even when it's off of the fire. So when it's off of the fire, well, so practically speaking, what do you do? How do you get the cholent out? So there's a difference between stirring and scooping.
Okay.
Now, scooping is problematic even if it's on the fire. We're going to say that in terms of, that mirrors stirring, even if you're just scooping it once it's on the fire. But once it's off the fire, we'll say that actual stirring is problematic, but scooping is okay. So if you have a fully cooked cholent, which is off of the fire, if you just scoop it out, that's permissible.
So you should take it out. You can take it out of the pot.
So you cannot. I've seen this a lot. You cannot stir. You cannot scoop cholent while still in the base. Even though it's strange, it's fully cooked. I'm not doing anything. It's not speeding up any visual process. That's it. It is what it is.
But once they transfer it to like a bowl, so it's like clichéy.
Practically speaking, I don't know how this is going to help, but let's say, okay, but you could do it like this. Yeah, let's say you picked up the insert, just for practical reasons. You took the insert out of the base, and you just poured it out into another bowl. Then you can stir as much as you want. To your heart's content.
In the second bowl, in the cliche.
Yeah, in the next bowl, yeah. Okay. But as long as it's in the same kli, same vessel, you cannot, you shouldn't do anything.
And the silver foil between the base and the fire doesn't change anything?
No, not
still
doesn't
change anything. Still considered alpha-ish, even if there's a blech in between or silver foil.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, so that's the story with, okay, but there's one more thing, one more important thing, which I used to be stringent about because I didn't necessarily know, I mean, there's a machlokas about it, but now I'm lenient about it, now that, at least my Rebbe Amar lenient about the following, fully cooked chulent, so fully cooked chulent, again, you're allowed to take the lid off of the chulent, and just check out the chulent to make sure everything's going okay. Obviously you're not going to stir and you're not going to scoop, but you just want to take a look and maybe you want to smell it, whatever it is. But it's fully cooked. And you realize, you know, it's been cooking for the last 24 hours, it's got to be fully cooked. So now can I take the lid and put it back on? So we said when it's on the fire, you're not allowed to, even if it's fully cooked, you're not allowed to stir and you're not allowed to scoop. But the one leniency that we'll have with this, with the on-the-fire, fully cooked deal or ordeal, is that you are allowed to take the lid and put and recover the crock pot, and that's not a problem.
So stirring, scooping, as opposed to a pot on the fire.
As opposed to a non-fully cooked chulent, once the lid is off, you cannot put the lid back on.
No, what you just said, if it's fully cooked chulent.
Fully cooked chulent on the fire.
You take the pot off. No. You take the lid off.
If you take the lid off, you can put it right back on. Even if it's on the fire.
Using the black, it's on the black or in the crock pot, right?
You can pull it off and say, it smells good, and put it back on.
Only if it's on a crock pot?
Or a black.
Anything that's fully cooked, you can take off the top, the lid, and put it back on. And that's not a problem. So when we are stringent by stirring, by fully cooked foods, we're only stringent in terms of stirring and scooping. We're not going to penalize you. We're not going to be as stringent to say you cannot even put the lid back on. In terms of putting the lid back on, we'll be more lenient.
Yeah. Well, obviously, we're saying chulent as an example. This would apply to, like, even if upon meatballs, and upon meatballs or
yeah, 100%. 100%. All the same. Okay.
And all these categories, all these fall under the concept of makari bishul.
Right. All of the rubric of makari bishul. Right. Speeding up the bishul process. Yeah. 100%. These are all biblical issues that we're dealing with. It's amazing that they all say that a fully cooked food, if you stir a fully cooked food, you're speeding up the process and you can be violating a biblical prohibition. It's very strange.
We're making it more done. Even if it's done, you're still making it.
Okay, it's hard to understand. It's not easy to understand, to say the least. Okay. So now there's one other issue when it comes to stirring, and that's liquids. So we've just, up till now, we've just dealt with solids. Okay? So let's review really quickly. Solids, if they're not fully cooked, you cannot stir it or scoop it, or scoop on the fire, you can't stir or scoop off the fire. If it's raw, you can't put the lid back on. If the food is raw, you're stuck. You know, better luck next time. If the food is fully cooked, you cannot stir or scoop on the fire, but you can put the lid back on the fire. If it's off the fire, you cannot stir. That's the chumrah. Some people say you can stir. But you can't. So let's be machmir for the time being. So if it's off the fire, you can't stir, but you can scoop and you can put the lid back on. So that's all in terms of solids. So how about liquids? Your head is spinning.
No.
Okay. How about solids?
How clear it is to you.
This is our second time around for most of us,
and we're still
trying to get it. Yeah.
So either it's probably a problem with me, I think.
He says something about, like, oh, and then a second later he says something else. We're like, what?
So when it comes to liquids, I don't know. when it comes to liquids, so liquids, there's going to be one general rule when it comes to liquids. When it comes to liquids, well, let's deal with raw liquids or unboiled liquids. Unboiled liquids, we're just going to say no because there are other halachic factors that are involved. So we'll leave uncooked liquids alone for now. I don't know how often it's going to be where you're going to need to stir a soup which is not cooked on Shabbos. So uncooked liquids, they're not at their boiling point, they're not at 112, they're not at Yad So lettuce where your hand has to move back. Those liquids you can't stir to speed up the heating process. Meaning to say, if you put up a hot pot right before Shabbos, you haven't done anything wrong, right? Because you plugged in the water before Shabbos, you're not doing anything. There are no knobs per se. It just turns on. You didn't do anything wrong, so you're allowed to turn on, you're allowed to put on an urn the second before Shabbos. Nothing to worry about. But what if you want to speed up the process? And let's say you want to put the lid on top of the, or let's say the lid was off, and now it's on Shabbos, and you put the.
It's okay to water not to have been boiled for Shabbos again.
Yeah, I mean, assuming that you have an urn with the, what are you doing wrong? It's before. It's like turning on a light before Shabbos.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Well, I'll tell you. I'll tell you maybe what.
Because God's the light goes when it hits the. Is that okay?
I don't think it's a problem. I mean, some don't have the light, but I don't. Why should it be a problem? You're not doing anything.
So putting a timer on for light.
Yeah, it's like a timer. You're not doing anything. So.
Is there a question about the coffee pot? Yeah. On Shabbos, setting a timer for the coffee pot. To make your coffee
might be different because it'll be cooking on Shabbos here, meaning to say
you put it on before, it's heating the water on Shabbos, it's cooking the water.
Wait, you know, it's actually someone, yeah, you know what, actually, yeah, we talked about this, and then I actually spoke about it with some guys in the men's Hilchos Shabbos one, and I wasn't sure afterwards, so we'll leave that aside. I don't remember what happened. I wasn't sure. Technically speaking, you're right. If you set up a coffee pot to go on and do all the cooking, you're not doing anything. It's just like setting a timer.
Like a turkey.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
We creating a new thing, making coffee, as compared to water.
Yeah. That's one. Yeah.
Right, that's what we came up with when we talked about it, that you're making coffee. We all sat there going,
oh, then that was the coffee press. That was another thing.
Right. No, we also talked about setting up our coffee urns so that mine's going to have a timer and it goes off at 7 every morning. So what if I did that on Shabbos? But we can't because we're making coffee that didn't exist before.
Yeah, I'm not. I'll say that I'm not positive. I'm not positive. I'm not positive. In terms of setting a timer to get your coffee going, I'm not sure if it's a problem. I have to think about it. I'm not sure.
I don't know.
Take that out.
Can you think about it before this, Sharon?
So, but setting up so I'll tell you.
Do that with others? Like, you can't
really, right?
But what about, like, do that with other?
Do you want to set the television to go on in the middle of Shabbos?
Yeah, I was just saying your oven to go on. Your oven to go on to cook.
Right.
For cooking.
What about leave bread in your toaster and set your toaster to go on in the morning?
But you like cooking, like, you set your chicken. Cooking your chicken.
I mean, that's chicken in the oven.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the problem is. I'm not sure what the problem is exactly. I just don't know. It's got to be problematic. I just don't know what the problem is.
Where the problem lies.
Like the problem. Pot and then you always set it to go on after
Shabbos. Yeah, I don't see what the problem would be.
But then there's coffee. Like there's sure. Rabbi Rachel here, sure you can't do that. So don't find the problem.
It looks like a cooking pot to go on at 8 p.m. So it's not so overcooked by lunchtime. So the challenge doesn't exist yet. While it's in the pot, it's just some vegetables and some meat.
It could be spoiled by the time.
No, I'm just saying though, it's not chilling yet. It's just
that you have.
you want soup in your chili pot, and if you really put more shallots, it'll be way overcooked and dried out. It would be good. So you put it out for 4 hours before lunch or 6 hours.
But see, then what's the difference between that and coffee? Because it wasn't soupy.
Yeah, no, it's the same question. It's all the same question.
No, okay, so he'll look at me, but you tell us you could.
Yeah, I'm gonna. I said no. I was pretty definite, but then when I spoke with a couple of the guys at the with the men, then they were giving me a harder time than you guys were. So I
really, you talking about Rachel here?
So I'm not sure.
She's still waiting for the results of the appeals process and the French press.
Well, the press is no. Not official reasons, but for timers, I'm not sure. I'll tell you one thing about timers, which is not the way that we necessarily, our practice is, but Moshe Feinstein says, this will settle everything, Moshe Feinstein says, you're only allowed to use timers for lights. Based on Mikdash, they had whatever they used, some idea that he says you can only use timers for lights, anything else you can't. So that would take both. Timers to
only. I mean, that answers everything anyway.
I wouldn't say that's widespread practice. You know, plenty of people have their plata, their hot plates, they have set it on a timer, certain things. Yeah. Yeah, so if everyone followed Moshe Feinstein's approach, then there's not really much to talk about. But since it's not widespread, I have to look into it and get back next week. Okay. But when it comes to liquids, so one more thing. Sorry. So where you might probably learn that you're not allowed to put up a hot pot before Shabbos of water, it's because for some reason, I'm not exactly. It's hard to understand, but Moshe Feinstein says that the hot water pot should be fully cooked before Shabbos. But the tradition that I have is that it's very difficult to understand, and it's not a problem. You're allowed to turn on, you're allowed to plug in the water right before Shabbos and let it cook.
Wait, but didn't you say that that's exactly the point, is that you can't put something up just before Shabbos that isn't cooked normally, because after Shabbos you'll be tempted to heat it up. But with hot water pots, normally there's nothing you can do to do any of this if they don't have knobs or whatever.
Well,
so that might be an exception.
No, the one problem, the way you can heat up liquids is the following. And this is the next one. Oh, it's not in here. Okay, oh yeah, number two. Letting out water from an urn that is not Yad Soled. So if you just plugged it in and it started warming up, and then you took some water out of the urn, it's going to cook quicker. Because now there's less amount of water in the urn, then you've just started a process where it's going to cook quicker than before. If you take out 6 ounces...
Can I forget the hot pot? I mean, really, that's very artificial. Can I take a pot, pull it up in water, and stick it on the fire a second before I light candles? A second before Shabbos?
Yeah. Why not?
I was wondering...
Why not? What are you doing wrong?
I always wondered about that. I'll tell you why.
Has that, I turn mean, is that the whole thing with the blast, and then I'll...
Okay,
the fire
hold on. Well, fine.
Which is the only reason why this one's okay, because...
Yeah, okay, right. That's true. Right. Biblically speaking, you're right. I'm sorry. Rabbinically speaking, you're right. You can't take a pot, a hot water, and put it on the blech. On the fire, directly on the stove before Shabbos, because there are knobs, and as we'll get to later, knobs are going to make a big difference. But you have a situation like this where there are no knobs, so you can put it up before Shabbos. There's no problem because you can't fiddle around with it and do anything. The only thing that you might do by these urns is you might open up the water spout and let water out. And if you let the water out, it's going to cook quicker. So the question that was posed to Ramosha, Feinstein was, maybe we should say you're not allowed to put up the hot water urn before Shabbos because somebody on Shabbos might let out some of the water and it's still not at 112 degrees, and then by letting out water it's going to become 112 degrees. So Ramosha Feinstein said, you're right. But the tradition that I have is that we don't need to worry about. I mean, he's a great person, but you don't need to worry about his opinion on this. It's not a problem to set up the hot water pot before Shabbos. Okay, but so just back
to the question. You can't take water out of it.
What?
Wait until it boils.
Right, exactly. You shouldn't obviously take out water while until it's 112 degrees, but it's not a problem to put it up the second before Shabbos.
Even if your intent is like to drink the water, you're still...
Yeah.
Can you be...
Oh, no, you can't drink the water. No.
Even if your intent is not to be para-official? Like,
no.
I'm taking off the water because I want to drink it.
Right, sure, right. But your actions, what's happening because of your actions is that it's been cooked, yeah. So then this last thing, just in terms of stirring fully cooked, boiled, halakhically boiled 112 liquids, there's no problem of stirring them on the fire, off the fire. It doesn't make a difference if they're liquid. So if you have a soup and you want to stir it, I don't know why exactly you want to stir a soup. Maybe you need to stir a soup on the fire. You can take it and you can stir it around. It's not a problem. The theory is that when it comes to cooking liquids, everything is always evenly distributed. So therefore, by you stirring, it's not going to add, it's not going to enhance or add anything because everything is already fully cooked. And there's no way that one section in the deep corner is going to be less cooked than anywhere else because by liquids, everything is evenly distributed. So if you want to stir a soup on the fire, that's not a problem. And of course, off of the fire also will not be a problem. Okay. We'll stop here.
Okay.